Good morning. It's a great opportunity to be able to share with you this morning what the Lord has placed in my heart. Today my message is about being an overcomer or overcoming.
Amen.
Have you truly overcome? You ever thought about some of the things you've been battling with? Mm-hmm. Have you overcome? An overcomer is to prevail or an opposition or to prevail over temptation or weakness. If you use it as a verb, and you know we know verb is action word, it means to gain the victory or to win or to conquer. Have you ever given this real thought? Am I walking in victory? Am I winning life's battles? Am I overcoming my temptations or my weaknesses?
Amen.
If we look at things in life that constantly plague us, and there can be such a long list that if we could name them, we'll probably say tomorrow and a lot of other days.
Yes.
If everyone could really name their problems, if you could name them one by one, and if everybody was allowed the opportunity to do that all over this country, wow, how long would it take?
Yes.
But the thing is, are you overcoming? But today I would like to speak to this sitting from my heart. We are faced every day with new challenges, with new tests, and a lot of times it's that same old test that we have never overcame. The one that has hit us in the face over and over again. The one that causes silent frustrations. You ever thought about those things that you deal with that just causes silent frustrations in your life? The things that you can't talk to nobody about, not even your best friend. Sometimes the things that you can't even talk to your spouse about, because it just silently frustrates you. It's really, I have dealt with silent frustrations. Things that I could tell nobody about.
Mm-hmm.
And for years, and then it was only when I told the Lord that it was a change.
Amen.
The things that silently frustrate us, that tear you apart in the inside. And you know, the sad thing is, how about the people who deal with silent frustrations who never get a chance to hear the gospel, who never get a chance to hear the truth.
Right.
And you know, I really believe in my heart of hearts, that's the people who take their own lives. Because they can't find the peace. They can't find the relief. I remember in my younger days of dealing with depression and being so silently frustrated all the time, I made several attempts at taking my own life because I could find the way out, could find the peace. And you know, do we really, really look at somebody who's dealing with silent frustrations and truly pray for them? You know, sometimes we just consider that a problem, something they should be able to overcome. But really, it's tearing them apart inside.
Yes.
And we all, if we all be honest, if it hadn't happened to us, we know somebody that it's happened to. And the thing is, I'm going to talk with you concerning a couple of things today. One of the things is, you know, these silent frustrations sometimes will overtake your life. The test that you can't never defeat, or the test that you can't never get victory over. I mean, the one that just about drives you out of your mind. And you know, so many times, we just put a Band-Aid on it, but we never really face it. You know, a Band-Aid can only stop the bleeding for just so much.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, and we'll go to sleep, put that Band-Aid on and go to sleep, and hope tomorrow when we wake up that it's gone, that you won't have to face it. But still, it's there. And the question today is, have you faced it? Have you faced your style of frustration? Have you faced that test? The one that you just have so much problems with? Have you faced it in the quiet time with the Lord, in prayer or meditation? Have you faced it in studying the Word? And I want to look at several scriptures today. And one of them is in Genesis 31 and 7. And if you notice something here, Jacob is talking to Rachel and Leah about their father Laban being just as deceitful as Jacob was. That test, that thing that Jacob could never get beyond, being deceitful.
Yes.
And if you look, notice what it said, Jacob said, "Yet your father hath deceived me and changed my ways 10 times, but God did not allow it to hurt me."
Mm-hmm.
Notice something. Even in Jacob's deceitfulness,
mm-hmm.
God didn't allow it to hurt me.
Yeah.
But here's the thing I want to get to. 10 times. 10 in the Bible means the number of blessings. 10 times God had dealt with Jacob about that same thing. Did he learn?
Mm-hmm.
Notice something. When you go to the verse, chapter 33, notice what Jacob done. When it was time for him to face Esau about the deceitfulness that he had done to Esau.
Mm-hmm.
When Jacob gets down to the river, you notice what he done. He divides his children. He sends Leah's children with her and Rachel's children with her in different directions across the river. But here's the man. I'm going to stay back on this side of the river.
Mm-hmm.
And you know why? That deceitfulness.
Mm-hmm.
Jacob looking out for Jacob. You're going to put your wife and your children out in harm's way that Esau might kill him?
Yes.
And I'm going to stay back here on the river. Cross the river. Now I know if they cross the river and Esau killed him, I know to run. If he start attacking him, I know to run for my very life. And the thing is, look what had just happened. God had just dealt with Jacob the night before.
Yes.
That's right.
Wow.
And the next day, because he had never dealt with that deceitfulness,
amen.
He had not let him.
Yeah.
And notice something here. In Joshua, the 24th chapter, notice what it says in verse 4 and 6. 4 through 6. And it says that God gave Esau the mountains to serve. But Jacob and his children went to Egypt, and they wound up in slavery for 430 years.
Yes.
But they never learned the lesson. Never learned the lesson.
Right.
Jacob, that corrupt heart, that same corrupt heart, that same mess was passed on to his sons, who just had a vindictiveness to each other.
Mm-hmm.
They wind up selling their brother in slavery. And then take it, guess what? They wind up in slavery sales.
Yes. Wow. Amen.
Right.
You know, if you sow a bad seed, that bad seed will come back and see you. Because
right.
Whatever you sow,
right.
Once it gets in that ground and dies,
yes.
It's going to grow.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
And if you notice here, what Joshua says at the end of the 24th chapter of Joshua, when Joshua's life was coming to an end, notice what Joshua began to say. He spoke about for Jacob and his family was in captivity in Egypt. God sent Moses and Aaron and allowed them to lead them out of captivity. But notice, did the Hebrew learn the lesson? It said, what actually happened is after being delivered out of Egypt, going into the promised land and everything, when Joshua died, and the elders that superseded Joshua and the prophets, when they died, they went right back the other way.
Yes.
They didn't learn the lesson. And the thing here, how many times have God dealt with us about something? Not just, I'm not talking about him speaking to us from an audible word, but from we hearing it in ministry, by being ministered to, and by reading his word. Do we learn the lesson?
Amen.
Or do we go back and do the same thing?
Yes. Yes. That's good.
And that's the thing. All the days of Joshua's life, what did Joshua declare? It's for me and my house. I'm serving the Lord. You know what? I truly believe that more fathers declared that over their family,
Amen.
Declared that over their children, that they will serve the Lord. You know, we want them to go to college, to get this great education, to make all this money in life. But we pray like Joshua did, that it's for me and my house. First, we're going to serve the Lord.
Yes,
we're going to
go. Wow, that's good.
You know, how many times now do you see a father at the head of the table? And the rest of the family there.
Mm-hmm.
Don't have time.
No. Mm-hmm.
Because everything else means so much. But what if you start instilling that in them when they are a child? Because
yes.
It says, the word says, teach them while they're young. And when they get up, they won't depart from it.
That's right.
Do we basically lay down the law? That means what you got to do.
Right.
You got to lay down the law. Like my brother said about my brother Nehemiah. Hey, he laid down the law.
That's right.
And the word says the rod of correction would drive foolishness out of the heart of the child.
That's right.
That's what Proverbs says. The rod of correction
would
drive foolishness out of the heart of the child.
Right.
And you know, we have come with this modern day thinking, oh my God, I shouldn't spank him. And then, but. You know, I've seen this little 5-year-old girl last Saturday cussing just like a divorce lady.
Why?
Because she's had no correction in her life.
Yes.
But she can believe one thing. She better be glad that Freddie Everett ain't her granddad. She would have some correction in her life.
Amen.
But you know, out of all the things that happened in our life, no matter whatever the situations are, the Word of God always gives you hope.
Yes.
The Word of God always gives you a way out. The Word of God will always give you a way to move beyond that silent frustration. The Word of God will give you happiness, will give you joy, will give you peace. But the thing is, when you learn the lesson and walk into it, I mean, I could spell it out all day long for you. I can read it to you all day long, but it's until you internalize and you start to walk. You stand the little child up and you tell them to walk until they take that first step and fall, they will never walk.
Right.
But then if they take that first step and fall and they don't get up, they won't never walk. You know, so many times we're scared to take that first step. Because we're scared if we fall, somebody will be looking at us.
Yeah.
We're scared if we fall, somebody will be talking about us. Yeah. We're scared if we fall, that tomorrow somebody will be on the telephone. But you know what? Every one of those small steps that you take, when you fall, it's when you get up, that's a victory.
Right.
It's when you get up, it's the opportunity to overcome.
Yes.
When you get up, it's an opportunity that you know what? I can do this.
Yeah.
If I trust God, I can do this. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you a future and a hope.
Right.
Do you have a future? Do you have hope?
Yes.
That God will provide. That no matter what, and I know all of us are battling something, but do you have hope that in the Word that I can move on beyond this?
Yes.
Do you believe the future that the Word of God says concerning your life? If you repent and accept the Lord and then begin to walk in it,
mm-hmm.
you have love, joy, peace, happiness, all in the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
You know, Matthew 6 and 8 says, and I'm going to be quoting tonight here shortly. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him.
Yes.
Have you ever thought about the Lord know? I didn't say what you want.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
I said what you need.
Amen.
Have you ever thought about the millions of people on the face of this earth? God loves every one of us so much.
Yes.
That he knows what we need before we ever ask for it.
Amen.
And notice, right down below there, Jesus told his disciples to pray. Verses 6 through 13. I mean, 9 through 13. You know what? Do we really go back and really look at this?
Amen.
Because in verse 9 through 13 is every provision for your life.
Okay.
Now, I didn't say all you want.
Right.
Amen.
Set provisions for your life. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. God will supply all of our needs. Because he knows what we need.
That's right.
Not
that's
what
right.
we want,
Amen.
But he knows what we need. I want to close with this passage of scripture here. Psalms 35. For his anger is but for a moment. His favor is for life.
Amen.
Weeping may endure for a night.
Yes.
But joy comes in the morning.
Amen.
You know, Apostle Paul, to me, he summed this up in a much larger scale in 2 Corinthians 4 and 7. For our light afflictions.
Yes.
And you know, we think of these afflictions that we go through will be so heavy. The burden, but you know what Paul said?
Mm-hmm.
He said, they're alive.
That's right.
And I can understand why he would say light afflictions. Because how many of us have really been afflicted the way he was?
Yes.
How many times was he beaten?
Mm-hmm.
How many times was he shipwrecked? How many times was he thrown into prison?
Right.
So I can see why he said, our light affliction,
yeah.
which is but for a moment. And notice what he says. It's working for us for far more exceedingly and great yes. weight of glory.
Amen.
You know what we think? These little things that we're going through. And you know, sometimes I think about the pain that I be going through in my body. The suffering that I be enduring trying to walk and everything. But you know what? I know. If I keep my eyes on
Amen.
The prize,
that's right.
if I continue to walk in the way that the Word says I'll walk,
Amen.
One day, this body won't be in pain no more.
Right.
One day, Sister Carol won't have to endure pain no more.
Amen.
One day, Sister Gay, or Jennifer, or Larry, or Brother David, whatever
Amen.
You're going through,
yes.
you won't have to go through it no more.
Wow.
Because wow. these afflictions mean nothing.
Mm-hmm.
For the eternal
Amen.
Glory
Amen.
That God in Christ Jesus have prepared for us.
Amen.
It means nothing.
Amen.
If you remember the book of Revelation in the 22nd chapter, it closes out and says, well, in, from the midst of the presence of God and the Lamb, there's a living, a realm of living work.
Amen.
Yes.
Provide everything that you need.
Wow. Amen.
And any time it is pure water,
Amen.
It washes away all corruption. It heals total life. You know what? I truly believe that there's nothing that the Christian can overcome.
Yes, that's good.
There's nothing that you can't overcome.
Right.
No matter how bad it looks, no matter how bleak it looks, no matter how we think these situations are, there's nothing that you can't overcome.
Right.
Paul said these afflictions are light. And think about it. Have you ever really thought, what I'm going through, does it match the glory of God and the Lamb?
Amen.
That I'll be able to walk in and I'll be able to endure.
Amen.
If I just keep on weeping,
yes,
may last for a night.
Amen.
But the glory of the Lord, joy will come in the morning. God bless you. I love you.
Amen. Amen. Amen.